how is America now? I mean, how do you feel with everything?
I think America's reeling a bit, and just like waking up and just like, did that happen? You know,
what's going to happen now, Rich? What's going to happen now after him being acquitted over the weekend?
I mean, realistically, he's obviously going to take advantage of it, but for the most part, he was impeached for a second time, and a majority of the Senate voted to remove him or disqualify him from running. He's also going to face, I think, legal jeopardy because his crooked sort of scenario of how he runs his businesses and things like that. So I think ultimately it's going to be a bad deal for him.
2022, 2024, is there any chance he's going to pop up again, do you think? Never say never.
I you never say never with that guy, but ultimately I think that the Republican Party is fractured because there's a lot of people I wouldn't say a lot, but enough people in the Republican Party that literally can't go down that road of his and see where the glaring problems are. And I think that I think that either they'll split off and form a new party or...
Really? I mean, that'd be huge, yeah. Right?
That's what they're talking about. So.
You're kidding. Wow, okay. We're looking forward to finally seeing you guys in October. Now, this is another thing. Is this going to happen?
I hope. I mean,
do you know what? Shake Your Moneymaker is going to be 50 and we'll eventually get to celebrate it.
Exactly. Absolutely. I mean, we're already 30 plus one. So yeah. It's actually the 31st anniversary, which is interesting. Yes. You know what I mean? Why not? Why not do a 31st anniversary?
Yeah, listen, we'll take what we get at this stage, to be very honest with you. How are things at home with the band? How are things within the family? Is it all good? We spoke about, I think, about this time last year, and you were telling me just how grateful you were to have Chris back in your world and things like that. And, you know, there was a lot of mending done.
Yeah, there was a lot of mending, and we are getting along well, and it's a good thing, you know. And it's good for our families and good for us. And so, you know, we've been taking this time and writing a bunch of new songs and, you know, so trying to take advantage of the time we have, you know. And everyone's been great, minus the, you know, first pandemic in 100 years, you know.
It would just be our luck, wouldn't it? Yeah. How do you think the new stuff stands up beside something that's 30-odd years old?
Well, you know, when you're a kid, you know, you wear your influences on your sleeve because you don't really have much influence. You know, you live a sheltered life, or at least we did. We lived in middle class suburban neighborhood and had these, you know, we had our issues, but we were okay. You know, we were comfortable. Our parents were good people, you know, and that was it.
What did your folks do?
And so. My dad was used to be a musician, and then he became what they call a sales rep, which is an old fashioned term before the internet, where they would represent clotheslines, children's clothing lines, and they would drive them around the Southeast and sell them to shops.
Did you ever have to model anything?
No, luckily. No, we were too old for that.
Okay, so. Right. Okay.
But so, you know, it was. You know, it was what it was. And we loved music and we had this passion. And so we wrote Shake Your Moneymaker and it was filled with our influences, you know. And then we went on tour for 22 months and played 350 shows across the world. And we played everywhere and toured with our heroes and really saw this massive expansion of our own little universe. And when we brought that back, by the time we made Southern Harmony, I feel like that was really the first record where that was our sound.
Yeah.
Cut, you know, 30 years later, 29 years later, here we are. And I think that we have this interesting take on everything where we are looking back at this record for the first time in decades. I mean, I haven't listened to Shake Your Moneymaker in 25, 30 years. You know, I haven't had to. you know, we've played it every night, or we've, you know, it's always there. It's embedded in my brain. But to really delve back in and put this box set together and think about touring and playing this record as a whole, which was really interesting and different for us, has brought us to this level. This place where we really, I really have a huge appreciation for that record as the springboard for what the rest of our life became. There's great songs on there. We weren't necessarily great players. I'd only been playing guitar for 4 years, you know.
So there's a good chance though that the stuff that's on that album, when you play it now, you play it a lot better and you perform it a lot better than you did back then when it became a massive, massive hit though.
Yeah.
Why was it such a big record?
I have zero idea. But ultimately what I think is that it was a true record. Mm. It was true. You know, there was an authenticity and an honesty and a sincerity to it that I think people could relate to, you know, ultimately. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. In my opinion, write what feels good and what means something to you. And I think that ultimately it will become what it is. I mean, I remember we were at the end of Shake Your Moneymaker. We were on Geffen and they had signed Nirvana. And I remember people talking really disparagingly about Nirvana because it was before the record came out. And they were saying, like, this is just a tax write-off. Who gives a shit? It's punk rock. Who cares? And then that song came out, you know, and it was honest. Those guys were who they were. They weren't trying to be anyone else. And it was huge. And they didn't, and Geffen didn't know what to do with it. You know what I mean? So I think historically, you look back at bands like that, even Amy Winehouse, you know, singing the music that she sang wasn't necessarily popular at the time.
Sure.
But she was a sincere character and people really fell for her, you know.
Do you think, though, part of the attraction for you guys was because you said it was an honest record, but it was also, you know, it would have been a rawer record because of how you performed on it and things like that. Do you ever think that that was part of the attraction and the fact that you now will play it better? Does that take something away from the original?
I don't think luckily for us, I mean, there's a youthful exuberance, let's just say that, when people are in their teens or early 20s, where they're running around and they have all this energy and they're putting their energy into it. And sometimes when people get more refined, I think it maybe seems to be a little bit different. But we're not those people. I'm not someone who practices all the time. I've never believed in it. You know, I kind of pick up the guitar when I feel inspired to. So every time I pick up the guitar, it feels good to me. Chris is the same way, you know, and there are people throughout history that still have that spark. You know, when we played with Jimmy Page, that guy had that spark. You know what I mean?
Still like does, Jimmy, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he still does. I mean, he picked up the guitar and we would be sitting there and he would just bust into a solo and it would just be like, Jesus, man.
What was it like, though?
You know, Neil Young still has it. Yeah,
But if you take those guys to be in their presence and watch them do that, just pick up a guitar and go for it, what does that feel like to be in the room?
To me, we felt a kindred spirit because we always do that. You know what I mean? Like, we were like, damn, he still loves music like we do. Mm. And that was, in a sense, when we first met Jimmy at the Royal Albert Hall, we were doing, you know, two or three nights there. And we knew Robert from when we toured with him. And Robert was like, and it was when Paige Plant was back together. And he said, I'm going to bring Jimmy down. And we were excited. We're like, man, that would be great. Wow. We brought Jimmy down. And Jimmy was amazing. Couldn't have been more of a gentleman. And all we did was talk about music. And he had such excitement about music still to this day. He was still searching for new music. And so, you know, we played shows with them while we were touring with the Rolling Stones. We would go in between and play shows with Paige Plant. Mm. And so it was an amazing summer to be able to do that, you know.
Oh, my God, yeah. And then, of course, the album that came following all of that.
Yeah, Live at the Greek.
Fantastic. And you guys handled that Zep stuff so well.
Oh, well, thank you.
Mm, for sure. Absolutely. What has your year been like in pandemic times, in lockdown? What have you been doing? Working on new stuff?
I've been writing a bunch of new songs and sending them to Chris to take advantage of the time. But I've also been producing some bands via Zoom, which is kind of interesting, and playing on other people's records and, you know, just being here and trying to do what I can, you know. But also I have a big family and I've been able to spend a lot of time with them and see them every day and not have to leave. I mean, this is the longest I've been off tour in 31 years, you know.
Yeah. That part, I think everyone has really, truly appreciated the fact that we have had to spend so much time with our family and it turned out to be not too bad. We kind of liked
yeah.
them.
You know? Of course, yes, absolutely.
And how much would you have seen Chris over the year?
Well, if we had toured, I would have seen him a lot. You know, he lives in Colorado, I live in Tennessee, so we're a ways away and we haven't gotten together. But we talk, you know, regularly and, yeah. you know,
yeah.
I'll send him my songs. He'll send me his stuff and then we'll see what happens.
Do you find it kind of easy to do it all over Zoom, you know, make music that way?
No, I'd much prefer to be in a room.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get a lot more done a lot quicker in a room
sure.
because it doesn't involve like loading and sending and, you know,
yeah.
but you got to do what you got to do. And this is what we had to do for this time. But it's also, we've had the luxury of having this time to be able to write these songs. I mean, I've sent him like 30 or 40 things and, you know, to see what moves him and what he's interested in
cool.
and what he sends back is amazing. And so it's been a really cool thing. We've also been working with George Rakoulias again. So that's been good.
Yeah. What are we going to get in October?
You know, we're going out and we're doing the full album, Shake Your Moneymaker, in its entirety, in its sequence. And then we're going to play songs throughout our career.
Actually, that's an interesting one. In its sequence, if you were doing it all again, does the sequence still work or would you change anything?
I think the sequence is great.
Yeah. I suppose you have to say that, though, don't you?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't ever look back and... You know, look, whatever records we made were the best we could make at the time we
yeah.
made them.
Yeah.
I'm not the type of person to look back, oh, I wish I'd done this. I mean, you know, those records were great. We were all happy with them when we put them out. That's it, you know, and that's how I see it.
Now, listen, I was talking today about Charming Mess on our station here, okay? And this was a song that was meant to have been on the original album. And in fact, it was meant to be the lead single. Is that right?
Someone said that. I'm not sure, but I mean, everyone liked the song. That's all I know.
Why did it not make the album at all?
Well, you know, George told us to keep writing throughout. You know, we spent a year leading up to making Shake Your Moneymaker. So Chris and I wrote and wrote and wrote and kept doing, you know, and had all these songs. And right before we went in the studio, just to give us cover, we wrote more. Some of the later songs were like Seeing Things and Strutting Blues and these kinds
yeah.
of things. And so that was one reason that maybe the sequence didn't necessitate it. Back then, they really only wanted 10 or 11 songs on a record.
Yeah.
And so there was that. But then also we were like, we knew full well that the intro sounded a lot like Hot Legs and we didn't really want to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Now that is exactly where I wanted to go. And I was in my head, I'm going, how do I say this without pissing him off?
Well, look, I mean, look, I wrote it. That's how it went. And we all knew and we loved the Faces and we loved Rod. And
yeah.
The Rolling Stones. The rest of the song is not. Obviously not Hot Legs, but
no.
The intro is the first couple of bars is that way. But you know,
can you tell them so apart now?
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Yeah.
What's this?
And I sent.
No, hang on.
I sent it to Rod just to say, like, here you go. You know,
what's that one?
That's Charming Mess.
Yeah, it is. Okay. What did he say when you sent it to him?
He gave us his blessing. He's
excellent.
Like, thank you. This is great. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It is. Listen, we really hope that this works out and that we get to see you and that you manage to blow the roof off the Three Arena. I'm guessing it's been a while since you guys have been in town. Like a long while, right?
Well, the Crows, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there.
No, I know that. But I mean, as you know, it's,
Crows,
it's, yeah.
It's been, what, shoot, maybe 99?
Yeah.
Maybe 20 years, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, have you got some good memories of Dublin? Do you like Ireland? Do you like being here?
Of course, yeah. I love being there. As much as we can come is the way that we would prefer it, you know what I mean? My wife's family, half of her family is Irish.
What part?
Near Tipperary.
Okay.
Their last name is Whaley.
Whaley, okay. And will they be up for the Three Arena show?
I don't know. You know, I have 5 young children under the age of 10, so it's a little logistically difficult to get around.
Right, I hear you. No, I understand. As a dad of 2 under 5, and that's half of your problem.
Exactly.